Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
Many blessings to you all. Thank you for tuning in to yourself first. Thank you for showing up. Thank you for saying yes to life. That's the only answer. That's the only answer. Yes. Will you be transformed? Will you be the healer? Will you be the love? The answer is always love. The answer is always yes. And we are here to support you on that journey as we continue our theme of activate the love matrix. But you can't activate the love matrix if you don't know who you are, because you will think love is something else out there for the weak. So we want to remind you who you are before we continue this journey of your soul transformation.
I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. I am peace. I am here. I am strong. I'm free. Well, I'm the delight of God. I am you. I am healed. I am love. I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. And I am free.
Yes, indeed. That is the truth, no matter what is going on. We are on this plane. We are on this planet. We are on this. We are part of this existence, this thing called life, to make that truth a reality, that we are whole, that we are the light of God, that we are free, that we are healed. It may look like things are challenging, but we are being called to step up, to show up, to tap into that godness that is within each and every one of us. I don't even care if you don't believe in God, because it doesn't matter, as long as you're kind enough to make a difference, loving enough to be compassionate, understanding enough to be still. Charles Holt, I am. We'll be back.
Very far, the song of the sages, the knowledge of the ages is living where you reside. You have the key that unlocks the door to enter in that sacred place you haven't gone before, where deep meets deep, soul to soul. Feel that connection. The truth unfolds, I am.
Yes, Charles Holt, being the voice of God, the voice of the goddess, the voice of truth, the voice of the universe. You can find out more about Charles Holt by going to his website, intuitiverebel.com, or Charles Holt Productions.com. That works too. Charles Holt, productions.com. I am that I am. I rest in that presence. I rest in that truth. I rest in that power. And I know that all is truly well. I know that life is perfect, even if sometimes my interpretation of what I'm looking at is imperfect. I know that life is perfect because it can't be anything short of that. So from that place of perfection, that place in consciousness, that space of oneness, I welcome you to this love circle, the sacred ground of transformation of healing. Good afternoon, good evening, good night, good morning, good day to you, wherever you may be at this very moment in time. Thank you for tuning in to yourself and tuning in to Life Conversations Radio, where change begins and change is inspired. We know that when you are inspired, you can't help but make a difference. And every day, as a spiritual being, your spiritual responsibility is to wake up with an inspiration to transform energy as Celeste was sharing with us yesterday on her show, that to remind ourselves that we are all alchemists, and we're here to transform energy from heavy, the lead, to gold. We can do it. We need each other, but we can do it. And we can do it, not but, and we can do it. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach at a radio show. I am your host. The I Am Presence is uniquely expressing as Life Coach at a. And we're here to support you on your transformation journey, one step at a time, as we collectively join hands, join hearts. We come together soul to soul to hold the highest vision for the future of African-American boys and men. We need each other. We need each other. There's too much going on for us to pretend, for us to live in the otherness. The village of otherness will get you killed and it's being destroyed. You got to move. You got to transcend. You got to evolve from the otherness and recognize if one person's in pain, a culture, a race, everybody's catching it. There's more to be said, but I would just park what is bubbling up right now. So much is happening. And this month, the theme is Activate the Love Matrix. This is part of the conversation. Truth is nothing until it becomes a way of life. Spiritual truth is nothing until it becomes a way of life. And we are all being challenged. We are all being asked to stand up, show up, or go sit your hips down somewhere. And at the same time, we've got to learn to be gentle with ourselves. We've got to learn to be compassionate. We've got to learn to forgive as we keep moving forward. The universal playground. The playground, the universe. On this playground, there's a game called hide and seek. That's what it's about. We're here. We pretend that we don't know who we are. We're hiding from ourselves. Now we have wonderful opportunities to show up, to find ourselves, to be ourselves, to love ourselves. I want to welcome all of you that are listening online on the phone line. Thank you for tuning in. Now, welcome those of you listening to the archive. Thank you, because we know that you are here. There is no time and space and spirit, and you are here now. That's the only time. And, of course, we welcome our Within Radio listeners. And thank you all for tuning in. My brother Ashanda is in her house. Silent listeners disguised as guests. Yvette is here. Celeste is here. All of you are here. All of you are here. And our guests will be joining us soon. Reverend Nirvana Gale and Brother Stanley Bernard. Whew. Yeah. One of those days is one of those shows. Let me bring on Celeste. Let's see. Let's go here. Hey, Celeste.
Hello, Life Coach today. How are you doing today?
I am listening. I am present. I'm saying yes. That's how I'm doing. My brother says, moments when things are kind of hectic in his life, he goes, I am doing. But I am. That's what I should say. I am.
Well, you know, we always say the planets are doing what the planets are doing, right? And there's something that I just want to bring very quickly to the family and to you and, you know, and everybody that's working with us on Life Conversations Radio. Looky here. realize that we have stepped into the energy of Pisces. And think of it this way. Pisces is the last month of the house, right? Before we start all over fresh and again, here comes the sun again with Aries. So every single thing that we've learned from last year to now is coming to fruition right now. And we end on water. So, of course, our emotions are heightened. Of course, energy is shifting and doing what it does as we get ready to graduate in the midst of a Mercury retrograde. I mean, this is no joke right now. Pisces are dreamy, they are floaty, but there's a reason why Pisces is the last house. Pisces is very strong, too, because it has the full love of humanity wrapped inside of it. And I think we're all tapping into that, Life Coach, today.
Yes, we are. We are tapping into it, and it is tapping into us. And, you know, as I listen to you, I kind of think of, you know, it's like going at graduation. You know, we've been graduating the first house, the second house, the third house. Now we're in the 12th house. This is the final one. It's the final countdown to show up. And it's time to push the application key. And, and this is a level where we think we have to do it by ourselves. But in order to graduate from this next level, to step into that one, to step into that power of magician again, we now have to come together side by side and unite and say, we can do this. I'm like, oh, you're doing it? Yeah, we're in this together. So, yeah, thank you for that.
I love it.
Breakdown and that spiritual weather report. Because I needed that.
I did too.
We get to keep only what we give away, right? You get to keep what you give away. So we're going to put you to work. We're going to allow
you to
drink some water and get ready because you'll be right back in a few minutes. Thank you. Then you're back again, and then you're back again, and back again.
back and forth. Okay.
And forth and back. I understand. Don't start nothing. Get out of here. Don't start nothing.
Later.
Kathy, yo. Bye. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach at a radio show, Life Conversations Radio. Yes, sometimes when things are heavy, when you can't find your way, you got to find humor. You got to lighten up. Lighten up. Lighten up. What are we doing next? We're going to take a quick break. Celeste's going to tell us what's going on in Life Conversations Radio. We are here Monday to Wednesday, 12 to 2 p.m. Eastern. Well, the Ask Life Coach at a radio show is. And we got other shows. Celeste will be telling you about that in a few minutes. But, stay tuned. We're taking your calls. What's the number? 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. The theme, the conversation today, we're talking about the future of African-American boys and men when someone is shot because of music. Music is considered to be thug music. When someone is shot because they're perceived to be a threat, but they have no weapon. And rather, we talk about justice. What we're experiencing is something other than that. And parents are afraid. Mothers are scared for their sons. It's time for us all to wake up. It's time for America to wake up. And it's beyond, we need to go beyond pontificating and stop arguing, debating, and all the BS about, well, but African Americans are killing themselves first. It doesn't matter. Let's do something now. It's interesting. But as I said, I have a lot. I just wait for my brothers, the elders, to come in because I know their spirit will support me in expressing more what I'm feeling. I'm feeling a lot. And let me just tell you right now, I don't think we have listeners like that anymore. And I don't think we have listeners like that. I'll leave it as that, you know, because there was a time where people used to say, well, why are we just talking about African-American boys? Why can't we talk about all boys? Please, if you're thinking that, don't bring it over here. Don't bring it over here. But if you're going to bring it and come from a place of willing to grow. Because today I am not ready. I am not available for foolishness. I'm not. I'm not available for foolishness. On that note, I'm going to be the change I want to see and allow people to be who they want to be and tap into love and being cool. We'll be back.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Hello, family. Welcome to the Ask Life Coach Today radio show. My name is Celeste Morgan, and I'll be keeping you informed of the happenings going on with the Ask Life Coach Today radio show and LifeConversationsRadio.com. You can find a metaphysical rebel, a.k.a. Life Coach Today, right here from Monday through Wednesday, 12 until 2 p.m. Eastern. If you happen to miss him live, all the shows are archived. You can even subscribe on iTunes by entering Life Conversations. You don't have to go a day without Life Coach Today. Call in with your questions, thoughts, and anything you're dealing with so Life Coach Today can support you. The call-in number is 347-426-3346, and make sure to press 1 on your keypad. Now, if you can't call in, you can post your questions on the Ask Life Coach Today fan like page. Now, if you don't do or can't get on Facebook, go to lifeconversationsmedia.com, hover on the Life Conversations radio menu, then you will see a drop-down menu. Click on the Ask Life Coach Today button and fill in the email. You can also join me around 1 for Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan, where I offer the energy of the day. Do you have questions or show topics you would like Life Coach Today to consider for upcoming shows? You could email him that too at ask@lifecoachtoday.com. The theme for the month of February is Activate the Love Matrix. And we also have exciting shows on the Life Conversations Radio Network for you. Be sure to join Mbasa Safera for the play experience every Thursday night at 7 p.m. Eastern. Also tune in to Ancestral Blueprints with Lisa Iverson and Life Coach Today on the last Wednesday of the month. You can also join me for the Celestial Show with Celeste Morgan every Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern. For more info, go to LifeConversationsMedia.com. You will find a calendar and a listing of all the shows. The Ask Life Coach Today radio show is also syndicated on Within Radio every Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern on InspireBroadcasting.com. And don't miss the musical odyssey of Sounds of Soul with the Danny Feloce on 12radio.com every Saturday at 9 p.m. Eastern. Don't let the soul train depart without you. Now, that wraps up your announcements. Let's welcome back Life Coach Today.
Thank you, Celeste. Appreciate you. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach at a radio show. And we are here to support you on your transformation journey. We're having a conversation, a healing conversation, a conversation for humanity. We need each other. And there's so much going on energetically. And we are being invited. We are being forced. We have been nudged to show up and be the change we want to see. The number is 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. Reverend Nirvana Gale and Stanley Bernard will be joining us real soon. They're not here yet. And we're going to talk about a lot of different things, but more so, we are going to listen for what needs to be talked about. They're doing an event coming up in March called, Calling All Men to Our Community Healing. The topic is the future of African-American men. And we all got to wake up and do something. Last week, we talked about domestic violence. And we talked about how 83% of those in the abusive situation are females. And the amazing thing, I don't even know if it's amazing, the saddening thing really, the crazy thing, the ridiculous thing is, you know, we had three experts, you know, and they confirmed that really they, the three of them, one from Canada, two of them from America, only know of a court-ordered program to help men or people who batter people, the batterers. They only know of a court order program. Other than that, there is nothing else, well, nationally known. I know that there are a lot of organizations out there that are working with young men and teaching them about themselves, about their mind, their emotions, their feelings, teaching them about who they really are. But if we are concerned about domestic violence and the only nationally known program for people who attack, abuse another, it's just a court order. So if you're not arrested, you get away with it. We need to wake the flip up. We need to wake up when young black men are being shot for playing music, for walking. But then you still hear people come up with BS. Oh my God, I really does. You come up with BS talking about we have an African American president. What has that got to do with the price of tea in China? I mean, the kind of BS that people they use to justify hurt and pain, real stuff. It amazes me, and so I'm grateful. I'm grateful that there are those who are doing the work. And I would go as far as saying, those of you that are listening as well, you are doing the work. You're part of the work. Now, today is a new day to see what can I do? What would you have me do? Where would you have me go? What would you have me say and to whom? So rather than worry, trying to figure out who and what we are or what our purpose is, why am I here, what's my passion, there's so much to be done. It's staring you in the face. Do something. Do something. 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. And let me just tell you what's going on. We're working to get on Reverend Nirvana Gale and Brother Stanley Bernard here. They're not here yet, but Celeste's trying to figure out what's going on because I'm not carrying that in my head. I have so much going on right now because I'm talking to Celeste. I see all of you. Let me see. Let's do this. No, I'm not going to go. Be slick. Ashande, could you make some calls, please? What's going on? Ashande, I mean. I don't know why I call you Ashande. Ashande. Can you make some calls? We don't know what's going on, but all is well. We're pulling on the community. I think what we'll do, we'll take a break, and then when we come back, so that way I can be focused rather than trying to talk to Celeste on the chat and do a show. I'm good at it, but I ain't trying to show off. I'm good at multitasking. But, you know, I don't want anybody to feel intimidated. You're listening to the Ask Life Coach at a radio show. We are supporting you in activating the love matrix. The number is 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. Make sure you press 1 on your keypad to add your voice to the conversation, to be part of the change. And you can also post your questions and comments on fan pages. I call it the land pages because it's like page and fan page put together. Like and fan, I make it land page, like and fan. Anyway, there's the Ask Life Coach at a Radio Show page. Ask Life Coach at a Radio Show page. And then there is the Life Conversations radio page for, you know, you don't have to put it on both. But some people are have liked one page, and some people have liked both, or wherever. Let's take a break. Let me drink some water, because we're about to go deep and inspire some true healing in the soul of humanity. We'll be back.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? Would you feel scared or proud? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Would you rather make your own way or spend a lifetime saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or go to peacecorps.gov.
Did you know that color therapy has been used for thousands of years? But many of us don't realize that we've actually been practicing some form of color therapy our entire lives. We choose the colors we wear, the colors we eat, our furnishings, and wall colors. And whether you're selecting a color for your next car or toothbrush, all of your color choices are meant to make you feel better. I'm Elaine Marie, the director of Aura House School of Color and Light, and the founder of Color Therapy Month. This March, please join me in celebrating the healing power of color. For ideas on how you can participate in this worldwide event, visit our website at colortherapymonth.com.
Snickerdoodle,
shortbread, fudgy nut bar. How many treats? Snickerdoodle,
shortbread, fudgy nut bar. How many treats in
the
cookie jar? One.
Dad, you're supposed to jump over the row.
One more time. The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
Life Conversations Radio.
Giving a voice back to the community. 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 To the community.
Yes, indeed. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade Radio Show. And we are giving a voice back to the community, reminding you that you have something to say, that you're part of the change, that you're part of the healing. And it's time to speak up. It's time to say yes to the call. It's time for you to just let your light shine. And you got to remember while you're doing it, you need the family. You need the village. You can't do it alone. You got to do your spiritual work. You know, commit to your spiritual practice. But then you go out there and join forces with others. It's time to heal our planet. It's time for us to give up, shut up, looking for something outside of us to answer the prayer. When the God in you, God as you, is saying, you are there to be the healing. Don't come to me. I'm done. I work 7 days. And it was good. Now is on you. The number is 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. Our guests are here. We worked it out. No matter what the planets are doing, we flow with the planet. We cooperate. We learn patience, and we trust and be aware that, yes, Mercury is retrograding, but it doesn't mean we have to be afraid. We have a choice. Choose fear or you can choose love. I know what I go for. All my lovers in the house say, yeah. Celeste, woohoo. We almost there.
Did you really? All the lovers in the house say, yeah.
All the lovers in the house say, yeah. Yeah, all the lovers in the house. Okay, let me stop. That's what we need to be doing now, because we underestimate the power of love, but we're going to talk more about that. Yeah.
I know that's funny. Okay, I think you've been in America too long, but let's go ahead and introduce our brother.
Hey, keep your projections to yourself, okay?
Okay, fine. All is well. Life Coach Today.
She said, okay, fine.
Life Coach Today, and beautiful regular listeners who are used to this love energy that you're feeling right now, I want to introduce you to two phenomenal men in a community who are making it happen. I'm going to start with Reverend Dr. Nirvana Reginald Gill. He is the minister and spiritual director for Guidance Church. He's a licensed spiritual practitioner and a minister, of course. He is an esteemed educator facilitating a wide range of classes, workshops, and retreats on spiritual topics ranging from meditation to sacred sexuality. He wrote a book of visionary sacred poetry entitled God Sings My Soul. Reverend Gill is profoundly skilled and expresses himself as a singer, percussionist, poet, and songwriter. A dedicated family man, he has been happily married to his wife, Deborah, since 1968, and they have two adult children, Zayed and Arisna. Grandson Amiri is a new and welcome addition to the family. Reverend Gill sees a world that truly reflects the highest and the most capable humanity, one that we co-create. Then I want to introduce you to Stanley J. Bernard. He studies spiritual metaphysics at the Agape International Center of Truth with the Reverend Dr. Michael Bernard Beckwith since its inception in 1986, a religious science practitioner of truth since 1992, and Agape licensed spiritual practitioner since 2005. Mr. Bernard has facilitated and taught all levels of classes. Most recently, he serves on faculty for professional practitioner classes of Agape. Stanley has an active private practice and is a seminar workshop facilitator. He's a graduate of the University of Santa Monica Master's Program in Spiritual Psychology. He is highly dedicated to the upliftment of the human condition and to the vision of a world that works for everyone. Family, please welcome to the house Reverend Dr. Nirvana Reginald Gill and Mr. Stanley J. Bernard.
Yes, yes, yes. Welcome, brothers.
Good afternoon.
Welcome, elders.
It's a pleasure being here. Yes.
Well, I got to say something. Same here. I'm excited about our conversation, but I've got to confess, when Celeste was reading your bio and Reverend Nirvana, you've been married since 1968?
Yeah, well, we actually haven't been married since 1968. We've been together since 1968 and nonstop. So we've been in nonstop relationships since that time. We got married in 1977.
Wow.
So
well,
still a good period of time. You know, we were doing what the old world calls living in sin for a good while, because we lived with one another for probably about 6-7 years before we officially got married and even had our first child before we got married. But, you know, that's just the way
That's it. And the world didn't know better, because personally I think, you know, you got to get married before you get married. You know, because when you wait till the day when you put the ring and invite other people, that should be a time when you're just making an announcement. So
absolutely.
I was just thinking, you know, when I was trying to figure out what the heck I'm doing on this planet, I'm like, hey, what's going on here? You're already living life up. So I am so glad you're here.
Yeah, it's a joy to be here.
Oh, wow. So much is going on. So much is moving today. So let's jump right on in. But before we move forward, let me start with you, Reverend Nirvana. The first question I want to ask you, we must always ask our guests this. My listeners tell me, you make sure you ask all the guests because we need to know. The question is, who are you? Who is Reverend Nirvana Reginald Gay? Gail.
Who I am? I am the living spirit of the Almighty God made visible in form. I am a divine incarnation of pure spirit, the walking, intimate, loving, profound, giving power of the living spirit in form. I am an individual who loves people, who loves God, who loves life, who loves reality, who lives by the law of love and the credence of love, and who joyously celebrates the grandeur, the beauty, the magnificence, and the radiance of all that life is, and encourages people to stand in the ever greater glory of their own divinity.
Let the church say amen. And so
amen.
It is.
Amen. Yes.
Woo, I feel like you were praying right there because it's the truth, because what you're saying was shifting my consciousness. Indeed. Brother Stanley.
Yeah, I was listening to your stuff. Oh. We're in alignment with the same thought patterns here, the same beliefs.
Well,
it's all good.
I tell Celeste and Yvette, my co-producers, I tell them, I said, you know, this is kind of like a blind date for me. I meet people online and we're talking on the phone. I've never met them before, but, you know, sometimes it just seems to work out. So, yeah, I'm feeling what we got going on here on this blind date.
Yeah.
Brother Stanley Bernard, who are
yes.
you?
Who am I? I am an individualized expression of the one life of pure spirit, the one life of love, wholeness, and well-being. And I am incarnated in human form to allow my life to be an example, an instrument through which the fullness of spirit expresses in everything that I do and everyone that I meet. I am a man who truly believes in my spiritual birthright and in the spiritual birthright of every living being on this planet. And it is one thing that I know that we all have in common is that we have a common genesis in spirit. We come from one point of origin, and that point of origin is of love, of wholeness, and health, and well-being, and therefore it is about looking at life and accepting what we have, not what we don't have. And I'm here to express that.
Yes.
I can give an amen to that, too.
Yeah, I know that's right. I'm just like, okay, what else can we say after that? But what we can say is to how to apply the truth. I love the fact that both of you shared the experience, well, you talk about who you are as the expression of pure spirit.
Absolutely.
And, you know, that's it. That's all it is. That's all we are. But I believe that on this planet, I know that we're here to be the face of God, to bring healing to what's going on in the world. And,
that's right.
And as Brother Stanley said, you know, rather than focus on what is not there, we focus on what is here, what we have, because we are here to deliver the gift. So,
that's right.
And, you know, we wanted to have this conversation with you. You're doing a forum that's coming up. Bear with me. There's a lot of technical stuff going on. I'm trying to multitask.
Okay.
But you are doing a forum, and it's called, let me pull that up on this page, the topic is the future of African-American men.
Right.
And I'm glad that Ashende told us about your work. But, you know, I want to know what inspired this idea. Even for, you know, to most of us it's obvious, but I want to hear from your heart, from your voice, what inspired this. So,
well,
I guess go ahead. Whoever wants to talk first.
Yeah, Stanley. I'll have Stanley talk first.
What inspired this was the repercussions within the psyche of people in general, but specifically the black community after the verdict of Trayvon Martin, when that apparent injustice of the justice system came forth. And from a historical point of view, there is has long been the mutterings and the dissatisfaction of how black men are seen and dealt with in this country. And so it was decided that there needed to be a way in which people in general could come together and express how they were impacted by that verdict from Trayvon Martin. So we had a forum that included men and women, and it was multiracial, and individuals had an opportunity to just speak. From that, we felt that what is needed is this same forum for African-American men of all ages to speak what's their truth, what's present for them, and of all ages. So we decided to create an environment where black men could come together and talk about the unspeakables, the hurts, the rage, the anger, the injustice that is suppressed. And we've come to a time in America where if we even talk about race, we are faced with the term of playing the race card. Mm-hmm. So black men have been marginalized in their concerns, in their viewpoints. And we feel that it's time that a safe environment was created where black men could come and speak, and more importantly is to cross the generational lines, because our workshop has an age range from 16 years old to infinity. But the thought is that a 16-year-old is going to have a different perspective than the 50-year-old, and yet each of those generations has something to give to the other and need to be heard. Mm-hmm. So that's what our intention is, and to get beyond any feeling that, well, we don't air our dirty laundry in public. We don't talk about that. We don't need this. And we do. We as men need to counter what the headlines would say about us. We need to go back to the truth of who we are. And, you know, personally, Ade, I feel that we as black people, the black community, are the conscience of America. Mm-hmm. And that needs to be known. It needs to be reclaimed. We need to reestablish the village that we've always had to support ourselves. And in recent years, with this upward mobility, in some ways the village has become diluted, dissipated in some ways, and we need to bring that back together so that we can support and grow.
And it was very, very important to us that this be established within the framework of a spiritual context where the healing energy, where the consciousness can be established, where there can be a sense not only of safety, but safety within the framework of that which is spiritual, that which is divine. We didn't want this to turn into just a blow session where people are expressing a lot of their anger and their hurts, but there is no sense of a healing going on. So we wanted it to be free and open for black men to be able to express what may be centuries of pain and hurt and oppression and exploitation, but within the context of a healing spiritual environment based in love that allows for us to then be able to move from that to whatever may be the next steps of actions that we may need to take in order for greater transformation, greater healing, greater wholeness, greater divinity, and a greater expression of the great gift that we have to offer to our planet.
I appreciate what you said about keeping it in a spiritual context. And Brother Bernard was talking about, you know, this is a historical pain. It's something that we've been dealing with. And the idea of that, it's almost like there's something very hard, and there's a card, the card of the race card. So when you talk about racism, oh, you're pulling the race card. But there's another card that has let's pull up the race card, And we never get to heal it. But somehow I think there is this foolish idea that we think, well, that's them over there, and if it's not happening to us, the white community feels like we've got to separate it. And it's really interesting. There are many places I want to go here. But I appreciate the conversation about putting a spiritual context. And I often wonder, but I guess mainly if you look at talk shows or even during the Trayvon Martin and Jordan Davis case, there's, when you listen to the news media, there's always this conversation about, is it really racism? I mean, this just intellectual BS, you know.
Right.
I'll call it what it is, but I'll stay there for a minute because I feel like I got to pace myself through this energy because I feel so much rising up. But this intellectual BS that doesn't heal the heart of the people that are hurting. And and I think racism in America is such a deep wound on the soul of America that it's hard to talk about it without people getting triggered.
That's right.
What do you think is the reason the race card is always pulled when we talk about issues of African-American men, African-American young boys? It's almost like, oh, yeah, everything has to be about racism, but what are you complaining about? We have an African-American president. That doesn't make any sense to me. But why is that an easy place for people to go to rather than deal with the healing that is wanting to be, that's surfacing?
Well, I think you already addressed it in what you were talking about. And that is that it's such a deep wound. It goes so far back in the history of America. It goes back to the beginning of the history of America, because the whole basis upon black folks being brought to the Americas had a racist tenet to it. In order to justify it, we were created, we were seen, the image of us were as animals, as heathens, as those who were less than human. There were times where we said we had a tail, so on and so forth. And one of the things you understand in the psychology of people, in order to do very inhumane things to people, you have to dehumanize them so that you don't see them as human beings. It's the same principle that happens in wars when they were calling, you know, people gooks and kong and gong and kraut and all that other kind of stuff. You give people these names that are dehumanizing names so that it can justify in your own mind the mistreatment of them, so you're no longer seeing them as human beings. They are seen as less than human beings. And so this notion has gone on all this time about black folks, and particularly black men in general, in the Americas. And in the heart and the soul of people, they know this is not right. They know this is not true. And so it triggers deep guilt, deep pain within them. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of pain and a lot of guilt going on within the framework of the dominant race in the Americas, the white race, which actually is no longer really the dominant race, because right now the latest statistics show that there is no majority race, that it's really a race of minorities. No one is over 50% of the population anymore in America. But besides that point, it hits this nerve where people are feeling guilty. They're feeling some sense of dishonor. They're feeling a sense of pain over the treatment, the inhumane treatment that has gone on and continues to go on through this war. And people don't like to face that kind of stuff because they don't like the way that it makes them feel. So they would rather avoid it. They would rather do anything they can than face what's going on within their own being, because it's still a thing that is prominent in America is people don't want to accept responsibility for the things that are going on in their life. They would rather place it on someone else. They would rather place the blame on someone else. They would rather make it somebody else's problem rather than taking a look in the mirror and seeing what's going on with themselves. And so there is a great deal of all of that history going on, the history of where black folks have been not only brutalized through slavery, but where there has been a continuation of those kind of actions with racist actions, with discrimination against people, with the whole civil rights movement having to take place because we were denied those that were our natural human rights. So the whole history of all of that is just an ugly piece of America that it would rather bury its head in the sand like an ostrich and pretend it didn't exist and that it doesn't exist, rather than really face the problem head on and do the real kind of diligent work of healing that is necessary in order for us to really move forth as a society.
Yes, yes. Brother Stanley?
Well, there were several points that Reverend Nirvana touched on, and that most recent was responsibility. I feel that there is a healing taking place in America, and in order for that to take place, everyone has to take responsibility for what part that they are participating in whatever is not working. And you mentioned the race card. Responsibility would be for the Caucasians, white race, to say, no, I may not have done it, but this came from my ancestors. Can I accept that responsibility and be willing to move forward? Mm-hmm. Black people, it is time once again for us to say we have the power within ourselves to uplift and to change our circumstances, not looking outside for someone to come and help. As we were waiting to come on air with you today, a part of what we heard is that you said that if you're looking for God to do something, it's not going to happen. God has given it already. And what God has given is that indwelling presence of strength and wholeness. So in responsibility, it is necessary for us to turn within to know where that strength is. And the race card, it is this worry on the white side that if we recognize these people, maybe they will stand up and do to us what we've done to them. So we can't recognize that we have done something inhumane. And a part of this forum is to understand that we're no longer about if we as black men, black people, just do the right thing, circumstances will change. I recently read where Eric Holder, Attorney General of the United States, President Obama, the President of the United States, stated that even now there was a time where they could not get a cab in New York City. So it had nothing to do with the way that they were dressed or how they appeared. It had to do with the color of their skin. And this no longer works. So going back to race card, black people now, we sometimes walk the line, and in a mixed environment, we may not say, this appears to be a racist statement or racist behavior, be it on jobs or in social settings. So there again is a truth, an emotion, a feeling that we know to be real. We stuff it down, we suppress it, and we walk around with it. And some of the consequences of that is this anger and upset sometimes shows up as domestic violence. It shows up as a weakening of the family unit. And then we are faced with, well, where's the black man in the home? And there again, this cycle continues that the black man somehow says, oh, I'm doing something wrong.
Or I'm not valuable, or I'm not needed, or I'm not important, or the woman can do it without me, or it's better if I'm away because then they can get welfare or they can get things. And the list goes on and on, but all of those end up being as a result of this belief that there is some way, somehow, I'm not good enough.
Yes.
And part of where we're even starting on this is the premise, of course, first of all, that by virtue of the fact that you're created in the image and likeness and out of the very stuff that is God, you are more than enough already because you are given all that God has within you.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a starting with that, which means that you are enough. But the other aspect in all of this that we're really, really also talking about is the reality that we're not looking to try and get any approval or aggrandizement from white folks or anybody else. This thing actually has as its basis, as its genesis, an acknowledgement to the challenges and the problems and the difficulties within this or within us as black men. We have the solutions. Mm-hmm. We have the answers. We have the knowledge. We have the wisdom. We have the insight. We have the power and the authority. So rather than looking for handouts, rather than trying to get people to make things okay for us, let us come together. Let us, of all different age groups, of all different so-called classes and financial and economic standings. We want folks in there that are businessmen, people who are politicians, people from law enforcement, people from the street, folks that are in gangs. We're looking to bring the full scope of the experience of African-American men into a room together so that we can begin to allow for ourselves to tap into the healing, the resources, the knowledge, the wisdom, everything that is needed to finally say, you know what, enough is enough. We're putting this thing to bed the way it is supposed to be brought to bed, and we're going to stand and rise in the true awesome power of the divine beings that we are ordained and created to be by God.
And one of the things that I'd like to add is that a part of this forum will be an opportunity for an individual to be heard. They will be given the opportunity to speak what's present for them without having to defend it or justify it. And there's not going to be someone there who's going to try and give them a solution. So in being heard, there's a great deal of healing available to a person just from being heard.
Yes. Yes, yes, indeed. Yes. I want to ask you this question. We're getting ready for a break, but I want to ask this question now, because when we come back, I want us to kind of speak to you after the break, speak to people who, you know, I know mothers who are afraid for their son, and I want to hear your words. Maybe you can share some words of insight. But before we get there, and before we take a break, is what would you say to people, Brother Stanley, what would you say to people who are saying, I'm tired of black people keep making excuses about slavery. Yeah, get over it. This is a new age. You have access. There's resources out there. You've got black women saying, yeah, man, I don't know what's wrong with the black man. They're just making excuses. They keep talking about the man. I'm tired of it. I might have to start dating outside my race. What would you say to them, Brother Stanley?
I would say that we need to just stop and look at what the black community as a whole is faced with, and that's legalized racism. We're talking about legislative laws that impact the opportunities for the black community to financially succeed. This has happened historically. If you go all the way back to the new construction era, that black people have been creative, innovative, hardworking, and accumulated wealth, and when that wealth and success shows up, legislation is passed to thwart it, to change it. And even now, so this thing about the woman saying, what's wrong with the black man has to know and claim his value. And this is our purpose in having this forum. It is a start. It is an opportunity for black men to not look at the headlines, but to say, yes, I have a worth. And when we come together in a collective consciousness, seemingly miracles can be performed. And those actions will make a difference.
Reverend Nirvana?
Actually, part of what I would say to them is, you know, you're right. I'm tired of that stuff also. I'm tired of the excuses also. You know, we do need to stand up. And part of the standing up is on this standing in the awareness of our own strength and our own value and our own worth and knowing that we are important and invaluable and ourselves as black men refusing to use any of those old excuses as to reasons for why we're not showing up. You know, there needs to be a point where we begin to take full responsibility in spite of the conditions and the situations and the oppression and the exploitation and the murders and stuff that is going on. Yes, it's been atrocious, and yes, it is inexcusable, and yes, it should not have taken place. But the bottom line is it is what we are facing. So based on the fact that it is what we are facing, what are we going to do about that? How are we going to allow for ourselves to move into a space of laying claim to our true power? We're the first people on this planet. We the first ones created in the image and likeness of God. It was black folks that were the place where all of humanity was birthed and brought forth into manifestation. And there's no disputing this. All the scientific community is on board with the entire human race came out of Africa, migrated across the globe, and over centuries and centuries of time changed in their physical being as an adaptation to the environments and the conditions that they were faced with. So we the original people. So when Scripture talks about created in the image and likeness of God, the first form that God took on earth was as black folk. So we need to get back to the awareness that anything that anybody says about us, if it ain't talking about our divinity, if it ain't talking about us as these creative, powerful, intelligent, loving, magnificent, radiant emanations of pure spirit in form, then it ain't the truth. So we got to quit accepting the ways in which people have defined us, the labels that they have put on us, the fact that our existence didn't begin with being in America. Our existence didn't begin as slaves. Heck, we were running the planet in civilizations long before anybody else was even on this planet. And so we got to get back to the awareness and the knowingness of that and carrying ourselves with that power, with that authority, with that pride, with that awareness, with that consciousness. And then all this other little puny stuff that keeps happening and taking place will begin to drop away. So we got to stand up. And that's part of what this forum is about. Or what are the ways in which we can begin to stand up in our true identity and our true authority as the first God beings here on this planet?
We're going to take a break. There's so much. You got me fired up. I'm trying to strap myself down in this chair like, okay. Move out the way. I am feeling everything. There's an inner applause going on as you're talking because it's true. And sometimes it's hard for people to look at it when we talk about African Americans. But what I do sometimes is like, okay, think about it if we're talking about Americans and other people in another country and mistreating or criminalizing Americans. We know what that looks like. We call it terrorism. You know, they don't like us. They hate us. So, we're going to take a break. We're going to drink some water, drink some chamomile tea, so we can all deal with what's being triggered inside of us. Maybe go walk on grass for a minute. It's okay. We're going to get through this. Woo! You are listening to the Ask Life Coach at a radio show. My guests are Reverend Nirvana Gale. He's the spiritual director of Guidance Church in Los Angeles. He's so much more. We have Brother Stanley, a licensed spiritual practitioner, a lover of humanity. You can tell both of them love humanity. And What I'm feeling from their energy, from their voice, the vibratory tone that's come, that it's just lifting me up, is they have learned and they're teaching how to blend the divinity with the humanity. And until we start living that in this real world, real, blending divinity and humanity, we're going to continue to deal with madness and foolishness. And to find out more about the community forum, go to their website. It's guidancechurch.org, guidancechurch.org, and go to the event tab and tell you more. And they're going to talk more about it. We're taking your calls, 347-426-3346. And Elliot said, if you come up with stupid questions like, wow, I'm talking about black men and black boys, why can't we talk to all boys? And I said, don't bother call. I'm a little bit more compassionate now. Bring it, because even in every question, no matter how what I think it is or how we may judge it, we can all learn from the question, because it's in the question, the wanting to hear a different perspective, that we grow. The number is 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. Make sure you press 1 on your keypad. You can post the questions in the chat room, on the like pages, Ask Life Coach at a radio show page, or the Life Conversations radio page. So you have options, or we prefer you call in. And if not, keep listening. Right now, it's time to bring on Celeste for some announcements. Then we're going to take a break, and Celeste is going to give us, after the break, the spiritual weather report and how we can use numbers and astrology to support the healing of African-American boys and men and, of course, the whole of humanity. Celeste.
Yes.
Some water.
Before I – I know. Well, I'm just so pumped up, you know. This is a powerful mm-hmm. conversation. I grew up with brothers and brothers in my neighborhood, you know, not biological, but so close to me. And I'm just seeing their little faces as we're running back and forth on the street. And my relationship with them has really helped me to facilitate loving relationships with all the men in my life as I'm a grown woman now. And I'm just really grateful to them and grateful to our guests today who are just asking us to lift the level of our consciousness and understand who we are, who we be, and what we have to offer in this world. So it's an amazing opportunity as we wrap up Black History Month, though it's never wrapped up for me. It's Black History Month all year for me. I just think it's a powerful way to, you know, have this show in February. So you rock, Life Coach today, and your guests.
We're all rocking together. That's why you know we rock.
Indeed.
We're doing it together. Like, oh, watch, we're rocking from side to side. All the lovers in the house.
I know that's right.
Say yeah. Okay, go ahead. Do the announcement. We ain't got time. Come on, hurry up.
I know. I'm going. This is a powerful mm-hmm. life conversation with the Reverend Dr. Gail and Stanley Bernard. And if you're enjoying this show, stay tuned for more as I tell you about the upcoming shows on Life Conversations Radio Network. Tomorrow, Life Coach Today will be flying solo to continue supporting you to activate the love matrix. His topic is, come a little closer, creativity is the nectar of God. He'll be serving you soul food for your consciousness. And get ready for another episode of Ancestral Blueprints, since it is the last Wednesday of the month, with Lisa Iverson and Life Coach Today. Find out how your ancestral lines may be impacting your life today. Make sure you don't miss these powerful shows, because when you tune in, you get to be the change you want to see.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Hi, this is Mark Hudson, founder of 12radio.com. And I'm here to support Life Coach Ade. I like what Life Coach Ade does. I like the Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan, and I like the message that's given out. If you like the message and you have a product that you'd like to also announce that would reach like-minded people, consider sponsoring the show. The pricing is great, and details will be given after this message. Keep spreading the love, guys. Thank you so much.
Yes, indeed. For more information, send an email to radio@lifeconversationsradio.com. That's radio@lifeconversationsradio.com.
Hey, folks, it's Jenny Cressman. I've worked in the field of woman abuse for almost 20 years now, and I have a challenge for you. I want to challenge you to help end violence against women. Now, that may seem like a big, hairy, scary project, but if we all work together, anything's possible. All I want you to do is talk about it. That's my challenge. Whenever appropriate and safe, tell people that abuse of any kind is absolutely unacceptable. If someone says it's a woman's fault she was abused, or tells a joke that puts women down, call them on it. Stand up, speak out, and stop abuse and violence against women. Just saying that's not right is a big step towards greater equality. You can make a difference. You can help make the world a better place. Just talk about it.
Hi, I'm Mark Husson. When I created 12listen.com, I envisioned a service that could offer immediate relief from the dilemmas of daily life on demand. I knew that many of you have been hurt by similar services on the internet because I've been in this industry for over 25 years, and I know that when you're hurt, the promise of a fix sounds irresistible, regardless of who's offering. The advisors at 12listen.com are extraordinary, not because they've endured weeks of observation and testing, but because they promise to make their work here their number one priority. That means you will be speaking to someone who's here for you. We're not a perfect service, but we believe becoming a perfect service starts with having the courage to strive for perfection. I'm Mark Husson, and 12listen.com and the 12 family are my purpose. Give us a try. And if you've tried us before, try again, because I'm convinced that life is better when you don't feel alone. Thank you.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage. Make that move.
Life Conversations Radio.
Giving a voice back to the community. To the community. To the community. To the community. To the community.
Yes, indeed. We're activating your throat chakra. It's time to speak up. It's time to show up. And it's time to listen. Because listening is an act of love. Can we listen to each other? Can we make room? Can we create space for each other's guilt and shame without judgment? That's what it's about. My guests are Reverend Nirvana Gell and Brother Stanley Bernard. We're going to take a break. Well, no, we're not taking a break. We took a break. We're coming back with Celestial Moment. That's what you get for multitasking. Okay. Celestia's coming on now to give a Celestial Moment, and then we're going to continue the conversation. And so let me go to Celeste right now. And, hey, Celeste, welcome. Welcome back. Welcome back.
I couldn't resist. Black to the future. I love it.
Black to the future.
Right. Do not ever apologize for being yourself, which is the key to the celestial moment. Well, you taught me that, buddy.
Oh, okay.
Well, anyway.
You only get to keep what you keep saying. I keep telling you.
All right, go ahead.
Indeed. I'm about to do it. Good afternoon, beautiful family. I am Celeste Morgan, and it is my pleasure to bring you Celestial Moment. Numbers give us information to help us navigate and embrace all that is showing up in our life right now. I come bearing a number gift. The energy of the day equals six. Six by the love planet Venus. Six also shows up as the snake in medicine cards, and its sacred gift is transmutation. Six also makes an appearance for lovers in tarot. Now today, for a special treat, we're going to put the spotlight on the jaguar of the medicine cards. Its number is not six. It's actually 51. So when you add 5 plus 1, you get six. So here we go. Sacred jaguar, teach me to wear my power lightly, to walk with impeccability, to approach life with compassion, and to live up to the integrity of my human potential. The jaguar has a mission to devour the unclean aspects of human behavior. Remember, sin is simply missing the mark of what's true for you on your walk. All the times you've allowed yourself to be hindered by your challenges instead of embracing your divinity, when being a good girl or good boy weighed more on your consciousness than honoring the voice within, the jaguar comes stalking around the edges of your life to get you to stop leaking your life force, your energy. This is not about being perfect. Jaguar medicine teaches that personal integrity allows for mistakes, embraces forgiveness, and humbly makes self-directed corrections, allowing a rebalanced spirit to triumph once again. So all is well, family. And that's the story of six told through our friend the Jaguar of the medicine cards. I'll see you on Tuesday around 1 for another celestial moment. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Celeste, for the celestial moment, and I just love how you weave it together, the fact that you even used the jaguar, the whole story about love. Ooh, pay attention to the metaphysics of life. That's where the healing is. So,
Celeste, all right, well, we're going to continue the conversation, and then we're going to deal with the emailed questions, all right? So stay present.
Always.
Thank you. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach at a radio show. You are listening under this music is Destiny Muhammad.
Amazing grace, sustaining grace. Amazing grace.
Amazing grace. Destiny Muhammad, harpist from the hood. To find out more about her, her website address is destinymuhammad.com. Yes, we are talking, we are sharing, we are healing. We are healing the community because we need each other. I always tell people it's one thing to say, well, let's just talk about people. Why do we have to say white or black? But if you go to the hospital, they're specialists for your eyes. There are specialists for your brain, specialists for, you know, your dentist. So we are all part of this body, this universal body called God, called life. And if we don't pay attention to the parts of it, for lack of a better expression, the whole body gets to go through major change. I'll put it that way. We have been talking about a lot, taking responsibility, making room for guilt and shame, and not be afraid of being accused of playing the race card. My guests are Reverend Ivana Gale, Spiritual Director of Guidance Church, and Brother Stanley Bernard, Licensed Spiritual Practitioner. And they put together a forum that is happening March 1st. And they're going to give more details on that in a few. But we just got small to process. And then we're going to address some questions. We have some questions that's been emailed. Brother Stanley, Reverend Nirvana, welcome back. Did you get to drink some water and kind of just some pep talk and chest bumps?
Yeah. We did a little bit of that, high-fiving, and it's really great to be back and be here on your show.
Yes, thank you very much for being here. And, you know, as I talk with you, I just feel like, oh, yeah, this brother's got to come back. Yeah, you got to come back because this conversation is not happening, and what I'm about to say, you know, I just want to hear your thoughts, because even in the spiritual community, we sort of want to run from things that trigger us in a negative kind of way. We say we are one. Let's just send love and light out there, and that is true. I get it. But I'm thinking of Debbie Ford's book, The Dark Side of the Light Chasers. We're chasing the light and not really dealing with what's going to lead us to remind us that we are the light. What would you say to people in the spiritual community who are saying, well, let's just focus on love. We don't have to talk about racism anymore. We need to transcend that. What would you say to that, Reverend Nirvana?
Well, there is a passage in Scripture that talks about the lightness and the dark are all the same to me.
I know that's right.
And what that gets at is that in this full array of the kingdom or queendom of the divine, if you will, is the fullness and the totality of all of this experience. And frequently in the midst of what we're calling the dark, or what we're calling the shadow, of what we're calling the hurts and the pains, are the precise lessons that we need to know in order to activate a higher level of our divinity. Truth is this. Is anything that we're running from, we're giving power to that. And anything that we're running from and we're refusing to face and we refuse to look at is our way of saying that that stuff actually has power over me. Because if it didn't, we would be willing to look at it, we would be willing to face it, and we would be willing to incorporate whatever it is that it has to give us. But if we're running from it, if we're trying to hide from it, if we're trying to pretend it doesn't exist, if we're trying to sweep it under the rug and act like it has no existence because we don't want to deal with those feelings or those energies that are coming up, it is really our way of saying, I'm afraid of that. And anything that we're afraid of is that which has power over us. So our unwillingness to take a look at the so-called dark things that may be going on in life is actually our way of saying, one, that we believe in duality. meaning that we believe that there is some power other than God, other than the divine, that has power over us. And by just looking at it, I'm going to succumb to it and it's going to take over my life. No, it doesn't mean that. It means this, that there are areas within all of our lives. Part of spiritual growth and development is, whether you call it racism or anything, or whether you call it hurt feelings, whether you call it the pain of relationship, whether you call it betrayal, whether you call it being discriminated against, whether you call it gay phobia, homophobia, there's a whole lot of names. Everybody has their own personal struggle of things that they have been through, that they've had their own personal demons that they've had to conquer along the spiritual path. No one enters on this path strictly looking at the light and the beauty and ignoring their own stuff, you know?
Yes.
Each of us has had to deal with that kind of stuff. Racism is another one of those things that is the stuff we individually have to deal with and that we collectively have to deal with. We have to collectively deal with things like the fact that there are people in the world that are very rich and there are people that are very, very poor. We have to deal with that. We can't turn our face and run away from that. Part of the movement that I love so much about a lot of the stuff that Marianne Williamson is doing is that she's taking a look at examining all of those kind of things. We can't pretend that these things don't exist and think that they're going to just go away because we're pretending that they don't exist and we're focusing only on the light. Yes, we are focusing only on the light, but within the framework of the light, there is also the so-called darkness. And on another, on another even deeper level, and we want to go into some even deeper metaphysics, before there was the light, there was the dark. Because the dark represents the formless, invisible, unsubstantiated God in its pure, formless state before there was form. And even when we look at Scripture, it says, let there be light, which means the statement of let there be light had to come out of that, which was the dazzling darkness, which is the full creative womb that has all of the power and the energy out of even what we call light, which is form, was created. So when we begin to dig deeper and we understand that, then we can take a look at, like when I'm taking a look at my so-called shadow sides, when I'm taking a look at the negative things that I have done in my life, because there have been things that I have done to people that I'm not proud of. There have been things that have been done to me by other folks that have hurt me. And I know that I've hurt other people, and I don't think that there is a human being. Let me rephrase that. Not I don't think. There is not a human being on this planet who has never hurt somebody else or been hurt by somebody else. You know what I mean?
I know that.
There is not a human being on this planet that has not had to go through some dark stuff in our life. Not a one of us. And there's not a one of us who, in being true to our spiritual growth and development, did not take a look at those areas within ourselves that we're not proud of and made some conscious decisions that I'm going to make some changes. And so when we're looking at this thing called the race card on a collective level, it's the same thing. Let's take a look at it and say, you know what? I'm not proud of some of those things. Let's make some changes. We have the ability to make decisions in our life, to bring into manifestation in our life, individually and collectively, whatever it is that we most desire to have. And if we want a world of peace and love and joy and harmony, a world that works for everybody, then we got to take a look at what are some of the ways in which we can cure the ills of racism, kill the ills of economic injustice, heal the ills of hurt and pain that we have caused one another due to homophobia or due to racism or due to religionism, due to nationalism, due to war and violence. And, you know, we're in the midst of the season of peace and nonviolence right now, which is really a way of saying, you know what, as a human species, we need to have evolved to such a level that we no longer need to resolve our differences and conflicts through violence, that there are other means by which we can begin to look at that. So all of these are things that we have to take a look at. The great avatars of the ages, Jesus himself, the Buddha, they looked at the ills and the challenges and the problems that were existed in the human condition and brought forth other solutions as to how we could move beyond that. I mean, Jesus talked about love thy enemy, meaning love those who have done something wrong to you and who you've wronged. The whole work of forgiveness work is about taking a look at these things in our life that are not necessarily the highest and best and forgiving ourselves and forgiving others for the ill that we have done towards other people. So people need to just get off of it where the race issue is concerned and begin to see it as one of those areas, like so many other areas that are in the life of each and every one of us, that are some dark marks that we need to heal and move forward and allow for ourselves to use the energy of that to stand in our higher ground, in our greater spiritual authority.
Amen, church.
Amen, church. Someone said, Reverend is going in. I'm like, yep, he's going in. Brother Sammy, go ahead.
I want to share your question was, why can't we just move toward the light? Why do we have to do it another way? And I want to bring this down to a real personal level. For many years, I was a young black man. I grew up in Chicago, and I was just angry. I was mad, and I was always pointing the finger out there at them. They did this to me. They won't let me do this. And one day, I realized that I was not happy with my own life. I was living in a world of darkness, and I said, there has to be a better way. So over the years, I found spirit, and I'm making a distinction between spirit and religion.
Mm-hmm.
Religion to me is a set of rules that's pointing in the way of spirit, but the rules sometimes can get in the way of that personal relationship that we all need with that indwelling presence, which is God, which is the presence. So on this path, it was a pendulum. I swung from one extreme to the other, and it's true, all is love, and everything is healed by love. But I had to find a balance in my sense of self. And over the years, I have found that. And because I have found it, that is why now at this particular time, I can coordinate, I can work in a form such as the one that we're presenting, because it's not from a place of againstness, but it is from a place of embracing the truth of who I am. And being born in this incarnation as an African-American man, my soul said that there was work for me to do. Earlier I mentioned, I believe that the African-American community is the soul of this country, meaning that we have turn the cheek many times, that we have not retaliated in the way in which what has been done to us, we've not tried to do to others. We still raise our children and say, love. I mean, we have survived because of these grandmothers out there who constantly tell the children, boy, that's not the right way.
That's right.
That's not the right way. So what I'm saying is that from a point of knowing who I am, I now can stand and say, by the way, I am a spiritual being in individualized form that happens to be an African-American man, and the circumstance under which I live as an African-American man is not necessarily conducive to my full growth. What is needed? As you heard Reverend Ivana say, forgiveness work. Black men need to be able to come together in a way that they can look at each other and say, this hurts, I'm angry. And to have a space and a container where after they say that, then the question is presented, now what? I will pick up my bed and walk. I am willing to look my son in the face and say, you can live your dreams. I am your father. I am here. Now, that's going to take some work, but this is the first step. And as it was said earlier, this is not just a place where people are going to get to vent. Our intention and our purpose a day is that when the men leave, that there will be a greater sense of hope and inspiration and hopefully a place within them that they are willing to take transformative action to bring the life that they want in the manifestation. Now, inspiration, transformation, transformative action. What does that mean? That means that there may be other workshops coming. It may mean just going back home, looking at the mothers, looking at the wives, looking at the children, and saying, we are family, raising hope. So it's about really spiritualizing our everyday life, knowing that there is support. Okay. There is support in the collective consciousness, and that's one of the purposes that we want to facilitate, bringing the multi-generations together and having a 16, 17-year-old say to a 50-year-old, why do you feel that way? What's your idea of racism? You know, one of the conversations that we could have is the use of the word nigger, whether it's with an A or an E-R. You look at a 16-year-old and you look at a 60-year-old, and there is a world of difference in how they look at those two worlds, those two words, that one word. But if that conversation can be had, if there can be an elimination of there's something wrong with you, we're in, once that is released and we can see each other and hear each other, healing takes place.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, I trust the process of life, but, I mean, we got some questions
now.
I mean, my life has just inspired me to trust the process, because just when I think I know, life goes, yeah, you do, check this out, pow. I'm like, oh, I thought I got it down. So I'm like, okay,
I
got it.
That's actually
the
beauty of it.
Don't understand. We got some questions. I'm going to bring Celeste on that's been emailed in. She's going to read it. There's so much I want to talk to you about, but if not in March, later on in March, we'll definitely bring you back in April, because you talk about maybe there's going to be more workshops. Yeah, this conversation is needed from a spiritual perspective, because I say, you know, we can turn our nose at a young boy on the street or a young man or man on the street, but that man, that young boy can end up being somebody else. The person you turned your nose at can end up being your son-in-law
that's
you could have helped them.
Yeah, sure.
You know? So, and the thing that you bring up is this thing about eldership is really missing. And as I listen to you, I'm just like, oh, my God, I just want to pretend that, just forget that I'm on a radio show right now and just let's talk forever. But we'll just bring you back another time, and might even have to have off the show conversation. But anyway, we got some questions that have been emailed, and I would like both of you to respond to it. Celeste, are you there?
Yes, Life Coach Today, you have received some really powerful questions. I have, there are three of them, and then I have one for myself. So we have time. I hope we get to it. Okay.
Yeah,
we're going to get Reverend
Varner and Brother Stanley to respond, and then we'll just go to the next one, okay? We'll just knock out the questions.
Okay. All right. This is from Camille. My son is 17. I think he is in a gang. I have asked him repeatedly, but he always says no. It's his actions, staying out late, his friends, his Facebook comments, and sagging pants. I feel like I have lost control. His father is in his life, but he also lives this life and condones his action. It hurts me so badly, it literally makes me sick a day. Please help me see things from a different perspective. Camille.
Reverend Nirvana?
Yes, Camille, I feel your pain on that. And without getting into whether or not he is in a gang or not in a gang, we have to understand also that a lot of the culture of this day are people posturing and pretending to be gangsters even when they're not. The whole thing in terms of this sagging pants, this the language that is used, the whole rap persona, the whole tough guy persona, all of, I won't say all, but a good portion of the youth are trapped in that way of behaving because it is their culture. It's the culture of what is out there. So let's assume that what he is saying is right, that he's not in a gang. So what needs to take place, or even if he is, actually the question of gang or not gang is not really the greater question. The greater question is to begin to entertain, who do you see yourself as being? So the question should not be about, are you in a gang or are you not in a gang? But the question should more be about, who do you see yourself as? What is important to you? What is valuable to you? What is the kind of life that you want to be living? What are the things that are important for you to be doing right now? What are the ways in which I can support you in living the life that you most really want to live? Where do you see yourself going? You're 17 years old, which means shortly you're going to be 18, which means you will be considered a man and in charge of making your own decisions. What are the kind of decisions that you want to be making about your life as a man, as an African-American man? That these kind of questions are the questions that are actually more important, because then it begins to skew his mind in the direction of, there are things that I have to take a look at, and there are things that I have to make decisions about that come in the next few months. Mama won't be able to make those decisions for me. Daddy won't be able to make those decisions for me. I will have to make those decisions for myself. For example, I had a situation with a nephew of mine. And I used to work with the Department of Children and Family Service, and I had connections with law enforcement and stuff of this nature. And my nephew had committed a crime. And I went to try and get him out, to try and get them to release him to me as his relative. And they said to me, your nephew is now 18. He's on his own. He don't get to be released to any adults. He is an adult. And it hit me when that happened. This was maybe about 15 years ago. And it hit me, oh, my God, that is true. I forgot. And I know it had not hit him at all, because he had just turned 18. You follow what I'm saying? So in his mind, he's probably still thinking he come under the jurisprudence of what would have happened beforehand. And so it's things like this that sometimes we got to bring little subtle things like that to the attention of the of your child and ask him those kind of questions. Where do you see yourself? Who are you right now? What is valuable and important to you? What kind of life are you wanting to make for yourself? Because mama won't be able to do that for you, and I won't be responsible for you. It comes down to you, these sort of things. Go ahead, Stan. Okay, Stan said go to the next question. He said he's got nothing to add to that one. So,
okay, there we go. All kind of stuff going on over here. Is this what we're going to do? Because we've got three more questions, and time is doing what time does. It keeps moving. So the next question I want to put to Brother Stanley, and then we'll just go like that. And I was talking to my co-producers. I said, well, we got to see who can squeeze all of this and maybe short answers. They said, there's no short answers to these questions. I understand.
Yeah.
let's put the next question to Brother Stanley, and because we've got about 10 minutes left, and I want us to answer all the questions. And I am catching an inspiration. Maybe we could talk about a show down the line called Ask the Elders, because I think that's missing in the African-American community.
Yes.
In American community, period. But for black boys, we need elders. So we'll talk more about that. Celeste.
Yes.
And you then to the next question for Brother Stanley. And we can squeeze all of it in 10 minutes or less.
Okay. The next question is from Natalie. My son is 13 years old. He told me he is a man now. He keeps telling me about these other cultures and what they do to celebrate manhood. Can you please give me some suggestions on how to celebrate his manhood? Natalie.
Well, first of all, Natalie, it would be just acknowledging that he knows enough of himself to want to identify as a man and to really see him. And the next question would be to engage him in conversation as to what does that mean to him to be a man. It's one thing to say I am a man based on what he's read, but to ask him what does it mean to him may give him an opportunity to form an opinion or belief about himself? What does he see himself doing as a man? So engaging in that conversation, I believe, that would give him and you, Natalie, an opportunity to bring into real clarity what this means to your son. What is the dream underneath there? What is the aspiration? What is the gift or the skill or the talent that he wants to bring forth? Or maybe he feels that he can only bring forth his gift or talent or skill if he's a man. It doesn't matter which way, but for him to talk about it, it then established a foundation within him and a purpose in being a man.
Yeah, and very quickly, this goes to what you were talking about, Coach Ade, in terms of the need for the elders, because he's actually, your son Natalie is actually right. I mean, in the Jewish culture, they have the bar mitzvah, and all throughout African traditions at the time of 13, there are these rites of passages where the elders participate in the with the young, and they send them through a ritual and a rites of passage that announces they're stepping forward into another level of manhood, and we're missing that in our community.
Yeah.
That's another one of the things that the African-American man being absent from the family, that's one of the other kind of things that as we become more and more engaged, then we can create these rituals and these rites of passage ceremonies that allow for our young men to be, then begin to be nurtured and nourished and supported into being men in the world.
I'm so loving listening to you. We're going to do the next question, but I would say to people who are saying, I don't know what my purpose is. I don't know why I'm here. I don't know what I'm to do. If you're not convinced after the show, then just pack it up. Just go back and try. Start over again. Press the reset button. Because just stop taking up space, okay? Just move out of the way for those who want to do the work. Select the next question, please. We'll go to Reverend Nirvana for that. Celeste,
okay, this is from Regina. Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you.
Great. Okay, Regina. Dear Life Coach Today, my son has an alcohol problem and doesn't believe it. I keep telling him alcohol is not his friend. There have been two major incidents so far where he was jumped, and he is sitting in jail right now. What can I do to help him see what he's doing to his life? I love my baby so much, and this is not the way I raised him. Thank you, Regina.
Yeah, again, Regina, I feel your pain. I feel your desire to want to do any and everything that you can for your son. There is nothing greater than a mother's love and a mother's desire for the highest and best for her children. And I'm finding it interesting that it is mothers who, all three of these questions have been from mothers, which hits to the point of probably our next forum that we're talking about is going to be one for African-American women. And we have a whole slew of women who are connected with us that they will be conducting that one, because there's just this supreme problem with all this. All of that being said, all you can ever do is continue to talk to him, continue to ask him questions about why is it that he is doing this, what is it that he feels are the needs that are driving him to do this. Ask him, does it feel like there are things that are missing in your life? Is there something more that you feel like you need to be expressing or you need to be doing that in some kind of fashion, form, or shape seems to be being denied to you? Because a bottom line is, by approaching it from the thing of, oh, you got this problem and how can we stop you doing that, really is never going to work, because people only do something like that when they're ready. And I know we've heard the whole thing of people don't change until they hit rock bottom, and then when they hit rock bottom, then there's the long climb up. And as long as people are involved in drugs or alcohol, they just haven't hit the rock bottom yet. But there are things we can do prior to the hitting of rock bottom. And those are to begin to engage in what do you see as your purpose, as your destiny, as the reason you are here. What are you here to fulfill? What is your mission in life? What is your purpose in life? What is your destiny in life? What is the vision that you have for your life? And if you don't have one, what are some ways in which we can begin to help you discover a purpose, a vision, an identity? So that frequently we don't always have to attack the problem, by lack of a better word, by attacking the problem. We take a look at what is not being expressed. In other words, if you're on drugs and you're doing alcohol, what is it that is not being expressed that you are using the drugs and the alcohol to mask? And let us focus our awareness and our attention on that and see the means by which we can help support you in fulfilling your greater destiny, purpose, intention. And in that way, begin to take the focus off of them feeling the necessity to do the alcohol or drugs, and then be more vision-guided and purpose-guided and destiny-guided and mission-guided in the direction of their life.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So last question for Brother Stanley.
Yes. Yes, this is for me because I've been moved by this, and I know you guys are in the L.A. area. Have you seen a documentary, Bastards of the Party?
No. What's it called?
No. Oh,
what's
no.
it called?
Okay,
Bastards
well,
of the Party, you said?
Yes, this to you. If you have Netflix and to the listening party, it's connected to the first question around gangs. Bastards of the Party is my gift to you, a powerful documentary about how gangs started in California, and a connection with some government-instigated situations to put the US organization against the Black Panthers, which gave birth to...
Yeah, yes, I know all of that kind of stuff. I talk about that from time. I haven't heard that, seen that documentary, but that is a field that I know very much about, and I'm very connected to that, and I do talk about that, and I was actually an affiliate of the Black Panther Party back in the late, you know, in the early 70s and stuff. So I know firsthand what happened on that and the existence of gangs and how that was brought forth and how guns were dropped off in our community and drugs were dropped off in our community.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of it, so I'd be interested in taking a look at that, but I know that that stuff is really, really true because I was here.
Well, we're connected on Facebook, Mr. Stanley, so I'll make sure I drop that link. But I ask every single person I know in California, have you seen? And so I'm happy to share that with you. It moved me on the East Coast. And my love to the both of you. That's it for our questions, Life Coach, today.
Thank you, Celeste. Now,
my pleasure.
The real quick, Reverend Nirvana, people can find out more about the forum. Give us some details, and then I have one quick question I must ask you before we end the show. So,
okay,
just quick
details
about
the they can find out more about the forum by going to guidancechurch.com. Our website is on guidancechurch.org, but on guidancechurch.com, because we own that particular dominion also, is all the stuff exclusively about the Community Healing Forum. So they go to guidancechurch.com.
Okay.
Calm. It tells them about it, Saturday, March 1st, 9 a.m. to 9:30. Lunch will be served, or they can call us at 323-778-0773, extension 22. That's 323-778-0773, extension 22. And those are the primary means. What else are you saying?
The time is 9 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. on March the 1st.
Okay.
There will be a lunch served. And it's open. It's being hosted by Guidance Church, but it is a non-religious event.
That's
so
right.
We're inviting men of all faiths to come and just be together.
Yes.
Okay, I got to ask you this question. You got 1 minute to share the last thing, but what would you say, Reverend Nirvana, what would you say to the heart and soul of Black women who are in pain or hurting for various reasons regarding their, you know, their relationship with Black men? If you can just give us your last word so that we can all grow together and heal together.
Yeah. I would say, first of all, my deep and heartfelt love and appreciation to Black women for all that you have done, continue to do, all that you have endured, the way in which you have been the rock, the heart, the soul of our community, the deep matriarchs that you have been that has brought us together and allowed for us to live up until this point. Keep your love coming. Keep your faith. Keep your belief. Keep your power. Keep that rock steadiness of the will and the heart of our community and our people that you are. Without you, we would be dead. Our entire race would be dead.
Yes.
And we are so deeply and profoundly appreciative of all that you are and all that you do, and that goes all the way back into the depths of the heart of Africa, because we know that the first human being on this planet was a woman, a Black woman, and the first the first deities on these planets were black goddesses like Isis and Kali and Yemaya, and the list goes on and on and on. So that would be the thing that I would say is keep the faith, keep on believing in us, keep on doing everything that you can in order to bring us back into alignment with our greater truth. Keep on inspiring us. Keep on opening your hearts and your soul to us. Keep on believing that black men got a whole lot more to give and offer than what meets the eye.
I am bowing in gratitude to you, Reverend Nirvana. Brother Stanley, speak to the
just,
1 minute to speak to the heart of black women.
Just to continue with what Reverend Nirvana just said, if you look at President Obama, if you look at Eric Holder, if you look at any profession, we can see that when a black man is given an opportunity, given a chance, he will and can excel at any field. But underneath that black man's wings needs to be the love of his mother, his wife, his sister, and this is what we have relied on for our entire existence, that rock-steady love by the black woman. And I appreciate the presence of that mother's love, that heart. And this is another reason why my commitment to this work is to reach out a hand to my brothers and say, let us stand, let us reawaken. I feel that what is taking place now is a reawakening within our community that we all can start to reclaim our dreams. There is a dream that we all have, and it is taking place. It may look like it's dark, but we are giving birth to a new level of accomplishment, achievement, and growth. Life is not over.
Yes.
Life keeps on recreating itself. And so thank you
yes.
to all of the mothers who have called in. And as a man, my pledge is that we will not let you down.
That's right.
The generations coming will stand on our shoulders and they will fly.
Yes.
We will use the technology that is here. We will use the spirituality that is here. And we will live in our greater greatness.
And let us remember, it is always its darkest just before the dawn.
Yes.
The dawn comes.
Indeed. I am in deep gratitude to both of you. Thank you for the work you're doing and others who are supporting you. Ashende, thank you for the connection. And I look forward to having both of you back on Life Conversations Radio. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks
for
your great work, too, man.
Yes.
You're doing great
thank
work. Appreciate
here.
It.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
All right.
Life is good. It's getting better. Thank you for the elders. We need more voices to speak up and not be afraid to share their story. Because we need each other. And remember, when you're judging others, you're confessing. When you're criticizing, you're confessing. Every criticism is a confession. It's time for us to heal together, and stand. Because we need each other. And we got to start by doing our own work. We've got to do our own forgiveness work. I love you, I bless you, I appreciate you, and I thank God for you. And I encourage you to be love. It is the essence of who you are. Be true to yourself. You deserve it. And for goodness sake, allow yourself to be loved. Ask for help. Don't be afraid to be vulnerable. Don't be afraid to say, I'm hurting. Not just, I'm angry. That's easy. But if you're hurting, speak up. I will see you tomorrow talking about spirituality is the nectar, not spirituality, creativity is the nectar of God. It's time to release the show. You hear a little bit of State of Man underneath us, underneath me. I have forgiven. Forgiveness is the word. Forgive and be free. Forgive and know love. Peace and blessings.
Life Conversations.
We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.